Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Call his wife in. How are we doing on this Wednesday morning? Probably awful. That's how I'm doing on this Wednesday morning. It's not a very good morning here for our baseball teams as the New York Yankees and the New York Mets continue their losing ways. And last night was frustrating. It was supposed to be so much better than this. Today was supposed to be a nice day. I mean, not a day for celebration or anything. No one's going to throw a party for finally winning a game. But both of the Mets and the Yankees are up 3-0 in these games. Starting pitchers cruising. You got Carlos Rodon throwing a great game like he's pretty much done all this year. And then even Frankie Montas coming off this horrendous rehab assignment pitching throughout the minor leagues. Could barely get outs. You're going against Spencer Strider, who pitched very well against the Braves last week. So did Schwellenbach, and he shut them down twice in a row. So you figured maybe the same was coming. Another miserable pitching matchup. And instead, Frankie Montas comes out and throws the ball really well, 97 miles an hour, locating his fastballs. He looked good. For the one positive, he looked good. They jump out to a 3-0 lead. You get a bases-loaded sacrifice fly from McNeil, and then you get the big hit, base hit from Beatty to give you 3 runs in that inning. You're kind of cruising along. He goes 5, Montas, that is, and then you bring in Barazaban, and he gives up 3 consecutive walks, and the inning falls apart, ending with a base hit from Olsen off of Reed Garrett that gives them a 5-run inning, and away they went. A couple more tack-ons. The Mets do have a rally in the 9th to bring the tying run to the plate in the form of Lindor. But Lindor right now is just absolutely struggling. Pete Alonso, after having such a great start, is really struggling. The bottom of this lineup has really been struggling. This offense has clearly been struggling. And now you add in the bullpen, who is exhausted, because even though the Mets have probably done a little bit better of a job with innings pitched than the narrative around this team all year has been, certainly right now throughout this stretch as it's really started to falter, the innings limit, you know, they're just not pitching deep into games, and this bullpen is being heavily overworked. And right now you've got a lot of stuff, and this is where, to me, we're starting to see the transition for both teams of slumping to bad. And it's starting to get a little nerve-wracking. I'm still fairly confident. I'm still very confident about the Yankees, I'll be honest. The competition's lesser. I know right now Tampa Bay's on fire, but Philadelphia's a legitimately really good team, and the Mets are in second place. The Yankees still are in first, although be it a game. But the Mets have, you know, right now they're sending all their young kids down because they've been unsuccessful. You've got a starting rotation that was the best in all of baseball for a calendar year and still has the lowest ERA in all of baseball, starting to falter. You've got an overworked bullpen with your best arms all year long, Barazaban and Reed Garrett, outside of Diaz, of course, now spitting the bit and blowing you games. The offense continues to stink with runners in scoring position. You've just got a lot going on and really not a lot of answers. And for a team that a couple weeks ago felt like it was hard to find a major flaw, as we sit here today, it's hard to find a major strength. They've lost 10 of 11, and they have lost all 5 games played between them and the Atlanta Braves. And they've done it every which way. They've blown leads late now twice. They've gotten, you know, beat up a little bit. They've, you know, been unable to mount a comeback and only, you know, scored two runs. Like, in every, other than maybe a major blowout, we haven't seen much. We've seen the Braves figure out a way to beat the Mets. And the Yankees are finding ways to lose, too. Both of these teams are doing now what bad teams do. And the Yankees specifically, really, it's been the offense. This entire slump, the six-game losing streak, the loss to the Orioles, the loss in the first game of this series against Cincinnati has been pretty much the offense. They've gotten good starting pitching. Clark Schmidt throwing no-hitters. Or at least he wasn't given the opportunity to. But Clark Schmidt's pitching the best he's pitched all year. Will Warren's still going out there and pitching well. Max Fried's still pitching well. Carlos Rodon in this game still pitching well. They're getting a lot, despite the injury to Ryan Yarbrough and the spot start from a minor leaguer, and we'll see what they do with that spot. I would imagine Winans might get another start because Stroman was terrible in his rehab assignment as well. So, like, but they're still pitching fairly well. The bullpen has been better. You know, Williams is doing all right. This has been an exclusive offensive slump, but now after last night they have a 3-0 lead. Rodon is cruising. They go to Loaisiga in the seventh, and rightfully so, as was, I know a lot of people are going to get hung up on Boone, as rightfully so, taking Carlos Rodon out after six, after Carlos Rodon said in the postgame that he was beat, that he was tired, that he was huffing and puffing. And it was not the game for him to be sent out to the seventh. Jonathan Loaisiga comes in and is awful. He gets the first out of the inning, walks the next guy, gives up two singles, and then a double to a light-hitting eight-hitter on the Cincinnati Reds. And a team in Cincinnati that hasn't won a game all year after trailing after six innings comes up, forces extra innings, another disastrous performance with the ghost runner. The Yankees are the worst team in baseball in road extra innings. That continues. They are 1-6 in extra innings over all this season. They have done a miserable job. They are 1-21 in this series, these two games. 1-21 with runners in scoring position. And the offense did, you know, just enough to lose it, where they were being dominated by a young kid making his major league debut in Burns. Struck out the first six outs are all strikeouts in this game. But then they find a way. In the fourth inning, Rice hits the home run. You get the two-run triple from Volpe. They take a three-run lead. They're cruising along, and they're three outs away, lined up for Johnny Lowe in the seventh, Weaver in the eighth, Williams in the ninth. Get a win. Try and win tomorrow with your ace on the mound and take another series and start putting together wins. Instead, the bullpen blows the game. They're miserable in extra innings again. They can't manufacture runs. They can't move runners over. Wells has a terrible at-bat. The only reason they scored is on a wild pitch. They've been awful in every one of these games, in every one of these situations. And now it's not just the offense. Now the bullpen is going to blow the odd game here and there. They are finding ways to lose. Both of these teams right now. The Mets, 10 of 11. 10 of 11. And all five against the Braves. And the Yankees spitting the bit in the bullpen against the bottom half of a Cincinnati lineup. It's unbelievable how bad it's gotten here in this town. 888-808-1019. We also talked about the new name added to the Knicks head coaching search. I don't think Norrie will get it, but the assistant coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves has been added to the list. The Brooklyn Nets get Terrence Mann and a first-round pick. They now have five first-round picks heading into tonight's NBA draft. Porzingis goes to Atlanta, as the Boston Celtics have kind of started this, you know, exodus of big contracts, and they've gotten under the second apron. We'll see what they do moving on from here. But no Tatum. Now Porzingis is an Atlanta Hawk. Holiday has been traded as well. And you look at this Eastern Conference, man, you've got a completely depleted and injured Boston Celtic team, a Cavs team that's, you know, as big a fraud in the postseason as you can have, a Pacers team that is now without Halliburton for the entire year, an upstart Detroit team, an upstart Orlando team. I mean, that's what the Knicks are looking at. This is a huge season for the New York Knicks. And this coaching search has left little to, you know, to be excited about. Mike Brown sounds like someone who's the leader in the clubhouse, but we're all holding out hope for Jason Kidd, because it sounds like there are reports that Jason Kidd considers this Knick job a dream job and does want it, which goes with reports we heard a week ago or 2 weeks ago now that there was mutual interest. I do believe Jason Kidd wants the job. And if that is the case, if Jason Kidd would like to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks, I think there is a very strong possibility it happens. Because if he makes it uncomfortable out in Dallas, if he makes it known that he doesn't want to be there as they are getting ready to sign Kyrie, he's not going to pick up his own option. It looks like they're going to sign a 3-year contract with Kyrie. I mean, it's a talented team in Dallas, but they're going to get Cooper Flagg in the draft tonight. They've got AD, they've got Kyrie, but those two can't stay healthy. It's yet to be seen how they play together. Who knows how long it takes for Cooper Flagg to become a star in this league. And you're dealing with a GM in Nico Harrison who blindsided you with trading the best player one of the best players in the NBA and the star of your franchise. So if Jason Kidd wants out, if Jason Kidd views the Knicks job as a better job, a dream job, something he wants, then I definitely could see him manufacturing his way out of Dallas. So we'll see as we wait. That would be, to me, the best hire they could have right now from all the names we've heard. It would be at least the one hire that could get me excited about this upcoming season. Because make no mistake, when the season starts, this is as good a chance they've had to win the NBA championship since 1994. Like, that's how I feel. When tip-off of Game 7 of 1994's NBA Finals, I haven't, like, that's about as good a chance to win the NBA championship they've had since that moment. This Eastern Conference is wide open. And you know what? As much as I hate to be that chasing stars and pie in the sky type thing, excuse me, if Giannis looks around the landscape of the league and looks at how, you know, loaded the West can be and how wide open the East can be, and even his own team without Lillard, I don't know what they are. If you can get Jason Kidd and force your way to New York, now you're talking about this is just pie in the sky, but the more things change, the more, and now we're getting all these Celtics trades. We're dealing with the injuries inside the Eastern Conference. We know Giannis is at least entertaining the idea of moving on. Where better to go? Why go out to the Western Conference and butt heads with Oklahoma City and Denver and now the Houston Rockets? Why go do that? I mean, I guess you could join Houston. There's some reports that Houston could still work with a trade for Giannis, and you go there and play with KD. But right now, you join the Knicks. Who's stopping you? Just a thought. Just something to get excited about, because, you know, Mike Brown doesn't do it for me, so I have to manufacture conversations that get me excited about this Knicks season. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Jeff in Oldbridge. What's up, Jeff?
Great. What's up, Jeff?
Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, hello. This is Jeff from Oldbridge. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning to you, sir. This is Chris and WFN.
Yeah.
So how are you?
Oh, Chris. I'm sorry. Sorry,
Chris. Okay.
Don't worry about it. First time, long time. I used to talk to the schmooze. I was used to live in Fresh Meadows, so I moved to Oldbridge. So getting used to it. I was 37 years teacher and assistant principal in the South Bronx at PA 65.
Okay.
And I moved out here for my retirement.
How's it going?
I'm just thinking, it's going
great. Playing golf? What do you got here going on? What are you doing?
No, golf. I'm working in the supermarket buying the deli.
Oh, okay, good.
But I do when I was a kid, just to get out, talk to people, you know.
I gotcha.
It's real nice. So I'm just wondering, Chris, how come the Knicks are not talking about Mike Woodson? I loved Mike Woodson. Former Knick,
yeah.
One here, respected. Just don't understand.
I mean, yeah, because I don't like going backwards. And thank you for the call, and enjoy your time. I mean, I've heard Joe talk about it on his Saturday show as I'm listening before as I'm getting ready for mine on Saturday mornings. He's had success here. I mean, it's the same thing as Van Gundy, right? I mean, bring it back. he was successful. There's not many head coaches over the last 30 years that you can say are successful. I mean, I would think Tibbs is more successful. You could say Van Gundy and Riley. And other than that, it's Mike Woodson. So I don't know. I don't like retreads. I don't like going backwards. It was my same answer with Van Gundy. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's not any worse than I wouldn't feel any worse about it than Brown or Jenkins, to be totally honest with you, but it would not be a name I'd be interested in. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Chris?
What's up?
Let me start off with something positive before I get to Jazz. Mm-hmm. With Ben Rice, I saw him being interviewed, I think it was night before last, by Susan Waldman after the game.
Uh-huh.
And she said to him, oh, you know, boy, you're finally coming out of you were struggling before, and now you're 5-for-9, you're coming out of it. And he said, you know, I wouldn't call it struggling, because as long as you're getting good pitches to hit and you're hitting the ball hard, I know that the rest of it is all kind of just the process of baseball, and I know that my numbers will be there at the end of the year. For a guy who's a first-year player to be, you know, we thought, you know, he was struggling before that. I mean, he wasn't hitting, you know, getting the numbers before that.
Yeah.
But to maintain his approach shows a real maturity. And that, to me, especially for his first full year in the major leagues,
yeah,
to not feel, not to be getting out of himself and to stay with his approach like that, mm-hmm, I think is an extremely good sign for a young player. So that's something. I think it shows real maturity on his part.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, and, you know, I'm sure, and probably to the chagrin of some people listening, I'm sure that's because we're so result-oriented, and rightfully so. I understand why. But there are probably people going, well, that's because, you know, Boone is giving him milk and cookies and telling him, it's okay, buddy, you're still hitting the ball hard. And I think, but I do agree. Listen, as I agree with you, as you're going through it, that is the good mentality I have. Like, hey, I'm having good at-bats. I'm hitting the ball hard. This thing's going to turn around. Instead of chasing results and getting out of your process and getting out of your swing and your focus. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Ben Rice has done a really nice job. He hits a monster home run today. He has been a force in the middle of the lineup, and I expect him to play a lot against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, and that leads me to Jazz,
yes,
who I don't think has showed a lot of maturity. First of all, I thought he had a rough night in the field before the whole incident with the umpire.
Yeah, he had the one play that he kind of took a back. I think it was with Ellie De La Cruz. I'm not sure he was throwing him out anyway, but he took a step back on a ball that he should have come in on.
Yeah.
And then he had a throw that was a little up the line. I'm not sure if Goldschmidt could have stayed on the bag, but he chose to come off and make the tag. And that error would have cost him a run because it was a runner on third. So, yeah, he didn't. He's not an average. He's not a traditional third baseman. He's played more of second base. But I don't hate him there. But last night wasn't a great night for him defensively. I think that's fair. He did have two hits, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. But, I mean, look, I mean, the first thing that you learn playing third base is you have to be aggressive. You don't backtrack on balls. When you let the balls play you is when, you know, the things like that happen where the ball goes off your glove and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. So I just thought he showed poor instincts on that first play. The second one, the ball goes off of his glove where he made the diving play.
Yeah,
that was, you know, a little more forgivable.
Yeah.
But then the whole thing with the umpire, the whole conversation of, oh, the umpire said this and I said that and I was unhappy and I've got an audience over here. Not one single word about how you're hurting your team if you don't be the adult in the room and just turn around and walk away. I mean, I thought he was extremely selfish. I thought he was extremely immature. And, you know, they could have used him. Well, I mean, I was actually happy after the defense that he was playing that day. I was actually happy to see Peraza on third base because I thought he made a couple of nice plays.
Yeah, but then it led to Ascara playing third base, which was not ideal. Now, listen, I think I'm going to ride the fence in between here with you. I think, I don't know about, and thank you for the call, I don't know about extremely. Look, he was hot, and we've seen guys get hot and get immediately thrown out. Like, the guy gave him rope. He didn't say anything bad. He didn't curse him out. He didn't say anything that's the automatic toss. And it just went on too long, no doubt. And he was talking to himself. Now, I think part of it, I have to admit, and I feel very confident in saying this. It's not about being a Yankee fan. I've always said this for anyone. Like, if he's out at third base, still talking about all the issues and talking about that pitch that was clearly low, and it was a terrible call, to be fair, and changed that, might have changed that entire inning. Who knows? Yankees might win this game. I'm not going to certainly blame the umpire for it. I'm just saying, if he walks there, first and second, nobody out. It's a different inning. First and second, one out. Goldschmidt flew out in between. Right, so it was Bellinger on first with one out. I'm looking at my book. But that inning might be different. It might not, but it might be different. But my problem is with the umpire is, even if he's going to be out there at third base just chatting to himself, don't be staring at him. And then just, how about the umpire shows some restraint? How about the umpire is the adult in the room? He's got nothing on the line. Jazz Chisholm's trying to win. Jazz has something on the line. Jazz is trying to play a game for the New York Yankees. He's trying to go out there and win a game. He's frustrated. Walk away. Don't be staring him down. And then if he decides to come walking towards you, just walk away. If he says, "What are you looking at? Why are you looking at me?" and he starts taking a step towards you, walk away and stop looking at him. You don't have to throw him out of the game. I don't think he had to be thrown out of the game. Now, having said that, without question, it went on too long. He was given leeway at home plate. He was yelling in the dugout. Judge came and talked to him, and then he was still complaining at third base. Now, to me, complaining by himself at third base, the umpire should just let him do it. But that doesn't change the fact that he should have cut it out. There's no doubt. But extremely selfish, extremely, I don't know if it's extremely, he's hot. He's hot about a play. He's trying to win. He's showing emotion. I have no problem when guys show emotion. You know, the great Paul O'Neill got thrown out of tons of games. Paul O'Neill was batting and, you know, hitting around water coolers. And he's the warrior. I mean, it's... I have no problem with him being hot about a call. We see it from everybody. It went on too long. You can't get thrown out of that game. You can't get thrown out of that game, especially once you've had time to cool off. He should have been able to cool off. And it leads to a scar. It leads to the backup catcher being forced to play third base. It's not good. He's got to make sure he doesn't get thrown out of that game. But I do think the umpires will go out of their way sometimes. Now, again, he did give him leeway at the plate. He complained about one pitch. Then he complained about the next pitch that he had to swing at because the previous pitch, very similar, was called a strike, so he felt he had to swing at that next one. So he was talking to him about that. Like, he was going back and forth with the umpire about balls and strikes, and the umpire gave him leeway. And he still carried it out onto the field in the next inning, which is too much. But I still don't think he had to be thrown out. 888-808-1019. Let's take Anthony real quick. Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you? Thank you for making it. What's up?
I'm doing good. Listen, this is just my opinion. You know, you might not agree, mm-hmm. or maybe the listeners might not agree. But there's a lot of problems with the Yankees right now. Mm-hmm. Wells is not a good hitting catcher. He's not really even a good defensive catcher. Volpe's not a good player. Boone's not a good manager. Mm-hmm. You don't have good people in the bullpen that you don't know what you're going to get. Them on any given day. We need good players, and you got to start at the top. You got to get rid of Boone. How do you take Rodon out 88 pitches last night in the sixth inning?
Because he was huffing and puffing, because he was finished. Those are Rodon's words. Those are because he was gassed, because he was finished, because he was losing energy quickly. Because he was tired, and those are Rodon's words. Those are Rodon's words after the game.
That's what he said. Oh, yes. I didn't know. I didn't watch the post.
I agree. So, normally, you don't do that. It's a hot, humid night in Cincinnati, and he had long at bats. And the guy leading off the seventh hit a double off him last inning. He went to Jonathan Loaisiga with a 3-run lead in the seventh. Even if you don't like taking Rodon out, and in the moment, I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. I thought you could have gone either way with it. And it's not like he doesn't do this. Rodon has pitched into the seventh inning 6 times. And Rodon even said in the postgame that normally that's just, I go out there, you know, it's not even a question. I was tired today. And if that's like, and if anybody wants to make that a thing on Rodon, that he's got to go tell Boone, I'm going back out there for with a 3-run lead in Cincinnati in June, like, I'm sorry. He felt gassed. He threw a lot of pitches. He still threw 88 pitches. He was working through it. They had some long at-bats. He felt like that was it for him. That's it for him. It happens to every starter in Major League Baseball. That's part of the game. And Aaron Boone did the right thing. He went to the bullpen. The bullpen's got to not give up 3 runs before it gets 3 outs. And you mentioned the bullpen. I'm looking for another arm at the trade deadline, no doubt, maybe even 2. But Jonathan Loaisiga has been somewhat shaky since the injury, coming back from the injury. He's got, heading into the game, his last five outings, he went 6 1/3, 2 hits, no runs. And overall, he's pitching to a 2.75 ERA. Before last night. Now I don't know what it is. But heading into the game, 2.7 ERA, and his last 5 outings were 6 1/3 of no-run baseball with 2 hits. Williams and Weaver are going to be huge in the back end of the bullpen. They get one more arm, they're going to be really devastating in the back end of the bullpen. The starting rotation, despite all of this hitting issues, has been really, really good. And Wells is slumping, no doubt. But he's still, for a hitting catcher, I believe he's still top 5 in RBIs. He's got an above average major league OPS. He's not a terrible hitting catcher. And Volpe is clearly going through it at the moment. We've had a discussion about Volpe. We have to see what Volpe is. I'm up in the air on Volpe. Just the first 70 games of this year, he was an above-average hitter. He had a 760 OPS. He was on pace for 90 RBIs from your shortstop. You would sign for that any day of the week. From a good defensive shortstop, and I still think he is a good defensive shortstop, he's been prone to the error and particularly killer errors. There's no doubt. He is affected by the moment end of games. He's got to work on that. He's got to be more confident in himself at the end of these games. Right now, it feels like you don't want it hit to him in big spots. That's a major problem. Don't get me wrong. Major, major problem. But offensively, outside of this streak, he's been far better offensively this year. So let's see how it plays out. He had a home run on Saturday. He gets a 2-run triple in this game. Like, let's just see where Anthony Volpe shakes out. He's the starting shortstop this year. Let's see how he shakes out at the end of the year. But I don't think, like, they need another bat. They need another reliever. I don't think it's much more than that. And I certainly don't think Aaron Boone needs to be fired. And I don't think Aaron Boone did anything wrong last night. 888-808-1019. And I feel a hell of a lot better about that after Carlos Rodon came out and said, I was gassed. I was done. And again, Boone lets him go 7 all the time. He's pitched into the 7th 6 times. Max Fried is pitching to the 7th 8 times. Like, he has not held these guys back from doing that. There was a reason he chose not to do it last night. And Jonathan Loaisiga was given a clean inning. He got the first out of the inning, and then he gave up 3 runs. It's on Loaisiga.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Isaac.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 437, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. How about Noah Syndergaard signed with the Chicago White Sox, signed a minor league deal with the White Sox, trying to make a comeback. I actually just saw him in a video. I'm obsessed with some of these chiropractic videos, and particularly the ring dinger, where they put like the towel around your neck and pull like your neck straight up, just and like, you know, decompresses and cracks all the way down your spine, all the way down. Looks like something I would enjoy very much. And he was on it. I mean, every once in a while they have celebrities. The guy's like, so tell them who you are. I'm Noah Syndergaard, pitch for the New York Mets and the Angels. Syndergaard out there getting a ring dinger. That's where he's able to get back onto the field. Hopefully he's grounded to the earth and ready to go. It'd be nice to see Syndergaard back in the game. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get back to the calls. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, I grew up with an Italian family. His kid, Salvatore Panzini. You're not Italian, Chris. You look like you're pale skin.
I'm going to just... Now he's telling me what my heritage is. I'm going to try and give him one more time. I'm going to try not to let that bother me too much. What's your point, Brett?
No, I'm just...
You're just saying.
When I heard your name, McMonagle, I never heard that name. You're not saying I'm going to Italy.
Yes, McMonagle is not
okay,
Italian.
Okay, that's all time. I was saying. Like,
no, I know, but I am Italian. I am Italian. My mother's maiden name is Venezia.
Are you mixed?
You're mixed. Yeah, I'm not 100% Italian. Not with a last name like McMonagle. I thought that was clear.
That's why I was saying it.
I am really Italian. I didn't make it sound like I'm really Italian. I am really Italian. I'm not 100% Italian.
I think real Italians are, like I said, the guys that grew up with in the 70s, their parents, they're all...
You have to grow up in the 70s to be Italian now?
Broken English.
You have to be born in the 1960s to be Italian?
There's more mixed heritage, Chris. You can't argue that today than there was...
No. I don't know what you're talking about. I can argue with the idea you called me up and said I'm not Italian. That I can argue with you. I don't know if I had to wear a leather jacket and brown leather shoes and a tight pair of chinos, to quote Billy Joel.
You just don't look Italian, that's all.
I certainly am. I am Italian.
You look Irish, you eat Italian, but you don't look Italian.
I am Italian. All my holidays are Italian. I consider myself Italian heritage.
That's just wannabe going through the Italian.
No, it's not wannabe. Okay. Okay, that's right. I want to be Italian desperately. I'm clinging on to it just so I could tell people on the radio I'm Italian with an Irish last name.
But that doesn't make you 100%. Yeah, I'll tell you. Chris, I called you a couple of months ago and asked you which team, Yankee team, was better. I called you and I asked my 11 online social media groups and got all mixed up.
Well, maybe you got a better answer from them. Allie in Tom's River. What's up, Allie?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So I just wanted to get a little touch on the Yankees, put my 2 cents in,
yes,
and about Volpe. And I think maybe we put him back at leadoff. You know, he could lay down a bunt, just slap a single. He doesn't have to swing so hard. You know, he's always trying so hard. He's got men on base. There's two outs. You know, he wants to make a big hit. If he's maybe, like, leading off, he just gets on base. And then he steals second, maybe third.
Yeah, I understand the thought process on trying to, and thank you for the call, Allie. I understand the thought process on trying to take the pressure off him. I do not think leadoff does that. One, he doesn't get on base nearly enough, and the swing hard and everything. It's last year. If you look at Volpe, last year his rookie season he had 20 home runs, and he swung hard. His bat speed was up, and then the year after last year he felt like maybe his game would be more suitable, as you know, we all think, to go the other way, like you just said, and he cut down on his bat speed, and he tried to play to contact more, and he wasn't good at it, and he was terrible last year. He was the same hitter without the pop. And then in the postseason, he brought his bat speed up again and had a really good postseason. And this year, he's been swinging harder with more success. I know over the last 2 weeks, there's no success. But overall this season, he's had more success swinging the bat harder, trying to create bat speed and some power. He's had a better season doing that. He's been a better player. I don't think leadoff is where it's at. It's about winning, too. And he just doesn't get on base enough to justify it. And that's not his game. His game isn't slap the ball the other way, and you know he's not Luis Arraez. That's not his game. I know we want it to be his game, and his frame might indicate that's his game. It's not. It's not his game. It's not, you know, it's like Jose Altuve. He's small. That's not his game. Now, he's far better at it than a Hall of Fame player. I'm just saying, like, just because Volpe looks like a skinny young kid who looks 12 years old doesn't mean he should choke up on the bat and try and hit the ball the other way every at-bat. It's just not, it's not his game. It's not who he is. It's not how he's going to play it. And I don't necessarily want him to. He's got to be better defensively, and he's got to be the guy he was for the first 70 games offensively. That's it. Like, that player heading into that Boston series, and even through the Boston series, he got on base four times in that series. Give me another Yankee who did. He had a 7.67 OPS, and he's on pace for 20 home runs and 90 RBIs. If Anthony Volpe plays a good defense, doesn't have to be gold glove, good, solid defense without these errors, and hits 20 home runs, drives in 85, and has a 7.67 OPS, you know how much money he's going to make? You know the contract they're going to have to give him to keep him? Now, he's got to prove more than just 70 games that he's capable of being that guy, 100%. And right now, he's on his way to proving he's not. That's how bad it's been for the last 2 weeks. But he's the Yankee shortstop. They're not going to find better. He's the guy he gets this year. That's it. That's the Yankee team. You can yell and scream about Brian Cashman not good enough, fine. But Anthony Volpe is the starting shortstop, and he's going to be the shortstop this entire year. And if he can get back to being the player he was for the first 65 to 70 games, then he's going to be the shortstop next year. If he's more like the player he's been the first 2 years and the player he's been the last 2 weeks, then I don't think he should be the shortstop next year. Like, I saw, you know, I quoted Giannotti a couple times, but he put out a thing on Volpe. I've been saying the same thing. He's 100% right. This is a crossroads season for him. And in my mind, it was trending in the right direction for this entire half a season, and now it's starting to trend back. What he does from this point on will dictate whether or not he's the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees moving forward. I totally agree with that. But my only pushback is we can't act like the 70 games of this season didn't happen. We can't act like he wasn't on his way to having a much better, not an all-star, not a star, not Bobby Witt Jr., not Gunnar Henderson, no doubt, no doubt. Not what we had hoped. Not the star that we thought we were getting. But he was on his way to becoming a very productive starting shortstop. And it's been derailed by a horrendous slump. And we'll see whether or not he's capable of getting it back and see what his season looks like at the end of the year. And then also, and we talk like playoffs are all that matter. He was very good in the postseason last year. Had an 800 post OPS in the postseason last year. Big hits, grand slam, the biggest hit in the one game they won in the World Series. Like, he had a really good postseason last year. If he's a 750, 760 OPS guy, drives in 80 runs, plays a good shortstop, and happens to be a gamer in the postseason, what are we complaining about?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But he's got to prove he can be that. And he's got half a year to do it.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Ba-da-da. All right, 4:52. Nick Monaghan here with you on The Fan. Just another few minutes before we take it to the warm-up show at 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. So a lot of talk about Jazz today. Obviously getting thrown out of the game. And, constantly, he had a long time period. He talked to Judge during it and still came out in the bottom of the inning and was still mad about it in the field and got thrown out. We've also had a lot of conversations about Aaron Boone. And you know me, the Aaron Boone shill. I defend Aaron Boone because I don't blame him for everything, including the runs given up last night by Loaisiga. But I know a lot of Yankee fans, and I heard this clip as I'm listening to Jazz in the postgame. And he's not asked about Boone. He just goes into it. And I heard this clip, and I thought, it's funny. What Jazz says in this clip, I think, is going to split the Yankee fan, depending on how they feel about Boone. I would venture to say it's probably more 50-50 than I'm giving it credit for, because I think a lot of people on Twitter and callers who are passionate about it are just a loud majority of Boone haters. But I think it's a very good, very large portion of the Yankee fan who do not think Aaron Boone is a great manager and have problems with the way things are done and the way things are handled. And I think a lot of them think he's, you know, soft. He doesn't criticize the players publicly. He doesn't get on the players. And, you know, he didn't bench Glaber. And I heard this clip during Jazz talking about being thrown out of the game. And I thought, this is exactly why he's the Yankee manager. And it's also exactly why the fan base who doesn't like him will tell you they don't like him. It's like if you like Boone, this will speak to why he's the manager. And if you don't, this speaks to the problem inside the room. And I thought it was very funny. We talk about it a lot. It's a dynamic we discuss a lot here on The Fan, specifically on my show. And I felt like this is a perfect answer from a player on the Boone situation. And he's being asked on if he plans to talk. I think it's if he plans to talk to Major League Baseball about worried about a suspension, or if he's going to talk to the umpire. But he's asked about who he's going to talk, if he's going to talk to the umpire or talk to Major League Baseball. And when asked about if he's going to talk to these people, he responds with this about Aaron Boone.
I mean, I talked to my skipper already. That's all I got to do is talk to my skipper, man. My skipper believes in me, and my skipper is always going to back me up, you know. And that's the best thing about being here as a Yankee and having Boone as a skipper. He's always going to have your back.
First of all, he says skipper 100 times, which I find funny. All I have to do is talk to my skipper. I talked to my skipper. I was talking to my skipper the other day. I skipped by my skipper's office and we, you know, skipped down to the lunchroom. My skipper, my skipper, my skipper. But it's my skipper has my back. The best thing about being here with the Yankees is having Boone as my skipper, because he always has my back. I think there are a lot of Yankee fans who will hear that clip. My skipper, my skipper. He has my back. He has my back. Even as he's probably getting thrown out, right? Even as a lot of the Yankee fan base might think he went overboard and was selfish. I took a call just on it before. Selfish, this, that. They he can go out there and get thrown out, and my skipper has my back. And I think a lot of Yankee fans think that's a problem, what he just said. And I think it's exactly why he's a Yankee manager. The players love him. The players trust him. The players know he has their back. He also said in that clip, I cut it off because it's not as much fun, but I'll tell you. He said, now listen, if he has a problem with me, he'll tell me, listen, don't do the other. And if he thinks I was right, he'll tell me I'm right. So there is being talked to. He does admit that if Boone goes back, he said my skip's going to go back and watch the film, and if he has a problem, he'll tell me, but if he thinks I'm right, I'm right. But I think the idea that my skip, the best part about being a Yankee is my skipper has my back, I think that bothers people. I think the idea that he doesn't criticize, that a player could get thrown out of the game and feel like it's okay, my skipper has my back. When I think that's a huge reason why he is the Yankee manager, because these players love playing for him and they know that he's got their back. Not that he won't criticize them, not that he won't, you know, be upset with them. He said on the interview with he does the John Boy interviews. He said specifically the Wells getting thrown out with going on two outs on a full count, that cannot happen. Can't happen. You could tell in his face he was annoyed by it, talking about it. But these guys know he's not going to criticize them publicly, and he is going to go to bat for them, whether it's with umpires or anybody else. He's going to go to bat for his guys. And I think that is, in today's day and age, a huge part of being a manager, having the buy-in from your players. I mean, Jazz literally said, think of all the stuff about being a Yankee playing in New York. Like, the best part about being a Yankee is having my skipper be Aaron Boone. And a player just said the best thing about being a Yankee is having Aaron Boone as the manager. And I think a lot of people think that is a problem. I think a lot of people think that is a problem. 888-808-1019. Let's get to a couple of quick calls before we say goodbye. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Chris. Are we going to write this ship, or are we going to win one of the next two games?
You're going to win one. I don't know. I think you're going to win one of the next two games. I have no idea. They do not play well against the Braves, and they just are finding ways to lose, man.
Well, if we lose both these games, we've lost the season series to the Braves. When the Braves get to the wild card, then we're in trouble because we lose the tiebreaker.
Well, hopefully you win the division and don't have to worry about it. But, yes, I don't think you would lose the – I don't think you'd lose the tiebreaker unless you had the exact same record. So, I mean, you got to get caught first. It wouldn't just be like, oh, we're both wild cards and they won head-to-head. You'd have to be tied with them to lose the tiebreaker. So, I mean, you got to lose a lot of games. But right now, both teams struggling. And, yeah, all five games played against the Braves have been losses. All five. And this one, they had a 3-run lead in the sixth and fell apart. And the Yankees ain't much better. Hopefully tomorrow will be, though. Hopefully we can talk about a couple of wins on a Thursday morning. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Fleegs on the other side. The warm-up show is next. Everybody, I guess it's going to be hot again. Stay cool out there. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 a.m. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.